This morning, I would like to invite you to continue with me in worship. We are going to read, continue in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week, we started in Matthew and read a passage about the Lord's Prayer, in which Jesus taught his disciples how to say the Lord's Prayer and then taught them about these themes that God would like to speak to us about. And we continue today. It is chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. This is Jesus speaking. He says this: "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join with me in prayer, and let us ask that God would bless the reading of this word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of fellowship, the gift of song, the gift of youth and children. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And we pray that it is by your Spirit this morning we would call on your name and that you would be here and guide us, fill us, give to us that which you want to give to us. Your good gifts, your presence. We pray this in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, good morning, brothers and sisters. For those of you that I didn't get to say hello to, good morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going through the month of July with a theme for worship, and the theme is this: how do we pray? So last week, as we gathered together, we asked that question: how do we pray? A very kind of technical question. It's a way that we gather in communication with God, and we learn to be in real relationship between us and Him, and so that there is talking and listening on both sides of the prayer line, if you want to put it that way. How do we pray? That's the question we are asking throughout the month of July. As I said, last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and we discovered this. First, that we actually have to learn how to pray. Prayer is not something that just comes to us naturally. We don't just get born and know how to pray. We have to learn it and practice a spiritual form of communication with God so that we can become more fluent in the spiritual language that God uses to speak with us, so that we can hear Him, so that we can understand His will for our lives. And so, because of that, Jesus gave to His disciples, and in turn, He gave to us, who are His disciples now, He gave to His disciples a prayer for us to use in the practice of prayer. And it's called what we call the Lord's Prayer, what Catholics might call the Our Father. It's a prayer that helps us become more fluent in our communication with God because it does this. It teaches us about the major themes of God's communication with us so that we can know what we are to listen for as we talk to God. For example, the Lord's Prayer tells us some of these things: that God is speaking to us about His place in our lives. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's about His place in our lives. The next theme is about what God wants for our lives, His will for our lives. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then Jesus tells us that God is interested in talking to us about His provision in our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And He's speaking to us then also about how we can be delivered by His grace and by His forgiveness in our lives, which is what the last part of the Lord's Prayer is about. You see, God is speaking to us, but not just to us as individuals, and that's what we spoke about last week. The Lord's Prayer also teaches us a fundamental truth that whenever we speak to God, even if it is about a personal request, it always involves our brothers and sisters. which is why we go to God in prayer and we say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." This is the Lord teaching us that whenever you speak to the Lord, whatever involves you is also going to involve your brothers and sisters. And whatever involves them is also going to involve you. We are bound together, not just to the Lord, but also to one another. So these are these major themes of the Lord's Prayer. They are the themes that come about whenever we say these words of the Lord's Prayer, but they are also the themes that Jesus tells us to practice in our prayers, to take up. Because when we do that, what happens is that we learn how to communicate with God, and we also learn to listen for what our Father in heaven would want for us, which is the topic of today's sermon. It is this question: how do we pray for what God wants? How do we pray for what God wants? In the passage of Scripture that I just read, Jesus said this. He said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you, then, who are evil," he's speaking to all of us, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" In other words, the first step in learning how to pray for what God wants in your life is to know and trust that God wants to give you good things. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord Almighty wants to bless you with that which is good. Can you receive that word?
Yes.
Is that something that you can hear and say, "Okay, I trust that"? Yeah, there's a little bit of silence on that. You see, it can be hard for some of us to believe that. We can get accustomed to actually not getting what we want in this life. Or at least we get accustomed to not getting the good that we had envisioned for ourselves. So if you are like me, at least, it can be hard sometimes to believe that God will give to us the fullness of his goodness if we just simply ask for it. That's what Jesus is saying. He will give to us the fullness of his goodness if we just simply ask for it. You know, years back, when I was a teenager, I was learning to drive, and I had just received my license, and for my 17th birthday, I wanted a car, all right? But not just any car. I wanted a Jeep Wrangler. And so, get this, I asked my mom, "Would you get me a Jeep Wrangler for my birthday? I'll help to pay for it with my job." Even though that was kind of a lie, because I didn't really have much of a job. My resources were limited, and yet I still wanted that Jeep Wrangler, and so I was bold to ask my mom for such an outrageous gift, because I really wanted the Jeep, and so I began to make it known over the course of that year that I really wanted that for my 17th birthday. And so when my 17th birthday came around and we were celebrating with cake, I opened up the present that my mom had gotten for me. It was this small bag that had a card in it, and there was something else stuffed deep down inside, which is what I went for first, because that something else, who knows, maybe it was like a key or something like that. And so I reached down into the bag and I pulled out the small gift and I looked at it, and do you know what it was? It was a Jeep Wrangler, but it was a little toy car that my mother got for me on my birthday. I remember looking at it a little bit confused, trying to understand what this gift meant. When she told me to take out the card and look at it, which is what I then went on to do, I took out the card and read it, and here's the thing, I realized that my mom, she couldn't get me a Jeep Wrangler. You see, The truth is, we were actually relatively poor as a family, and so it must have been just simply hard for my mom to think of a way to respond to the selfish request of a 17-year-old kid who wanted a Jeep for his birthday. However, you know what? My mom did think of a loving way to respond, and she wrote in the card that she loved me, that she was proud of me as her son, and that she would help to get me a car in the ways that she could, which were pretty limited on account of her financial situation. You know, here's the thing. At the time, I thought I wanted a Jeep. At the time, I thought that getting a Jeep would be a good thing for me and for the world at large. Who knows? I thought that what I wanted was the right and good thing for myself. But you know what? I was just a kid. What did I know about that? I didn't know much about what was right and good for me in that particular moment. In that moment, all I could see was myself and the things that I selfishly wanted instead of the things that were actually going to be good for me. Nevertheless, my mother loved me. And she did want that which was good for me. So she tried her best to give me that which would be good for me in the long run. In the first scripture lesson that we read this morning from the letter of James, the author says that we often act like this in our prayers to God. We want something, so we ask God for it. Only if we really dig deep down inside, what we discover within ourselves is the truth that we don't really care if it's good for us or not. We just want it because we think that if we get it, it will satisfy us in the moment. However, James writes that if we pray in that kind of way, it leads us to a divided relationship with God, but also with each other. It makes us become enemies of God because instead of praying for what the Lord might want for us in this world and for trusting in Him for that, we ask for things, James says, wrongly, so that we can spend what we get on our pleasures. Therefore, writes the author of James, you ask and don't receive. That's a word to us. In the times in which we ask and do not receive, what are we praying for? Whose will are we praying for? What are the things that we want that we are praying for? Do they align with that which is good, with which God would want for us? There is a solution to praying wrongly. The simple solution is to pray rightly. But, you know, sometimes it can be complicated to say, how do you pray correctly? The author of James says that there is a correct way of praying before the Lord, and this is what he goes on to speak of in his letter to the church. He writes that the solution to praying wrongly before the Lord is to do this, to humble ourselves before the Lord so that God can exalt us with the goodness that he wants for us. That's what Jesus did when he prayed to his heavenly Father in that story where he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. You probably remember that story. It was right before Jesus went to the cross. He knew that his ultimate mission was to give over his life for the good of others, and yet Jesus was troubled by that which was to come for him, the suffering, the death, and he didn't want that for himself. We should just say that. He was praying and asking if something different could happen. And so he prayed to his Father in heaven and he asked if the moment could be different. Could it somehow be that he could save the world in another kind of way, that he could keep his life and still possibly be seen as the Savior? And so Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven, and he said this, if it's possible, then let this cup pass from me. But then he goes on and he says this, yet not what I want, but what you want for me. In other words, in that moment, Jesus prayed correctly. because he humbled himself before the Lord and he sought the good that his heavenly Father would have for him instead of the good that he imagined for himself. And do you know what? Thanks be to God that he did that. Amen? Because it is in that prayer that Jesus found the strength to go forward and to do that which God had called him to do. And in so doing, we are saved. You see, if we want to pray correctly, if we want to pray in a way that we can be assured that God will respond, then we have to pray for what God would want for us instead of praying only for those things that we want for ourselves, which means that we would humble ourselves before the Lord and ask him first, Lord, what is it that you want for me? Lord, what is it that you want for me? Now let me pause and say this. You and I are human beings. We are made from the dust. We are feeble creatures and prone to all sorts of wants and desires. So if we are going to be fair with ourselves, or at least gracious with ourselves, we got to admit, it's not always easy to say to God, not what I want, but what you want. It's not always easy to humble ourselves before the Lord like Jesus Christ did so that our prayers become perfectly matched to the good things that God would want for us in this world. It's not always easy to do that, which is why it is also important in this sermon to recognize and to acknowledge God is patient with us. Whenever we ask incorrectly, the Lord graciously brings us back to where we should be in our prayers and our requests and our wants. Take, for instance, the story of James and John. These are two of the disciples of Jesus, and they were prominent in the gospel stories, James and John. In one story, James and John sent their mother to Jesus to ask of him a special favor. And the Bible says this, that she came to Jesus with her sons and knelt before the Lord to ask a favor of him, to which Jesus responded and said, "What do you want?" So she said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." In other words, Jesus, I want you to give them power. I want you to give them authority. I want you to give them a prominent place in your kingdom work. Give them long life. But to that, Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" To which they said, we are able. And he said, "Well, you will indeed drink the cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." You see, the disciples were seeking something for themselves. And it really wasn't altogether bad and selfish. I mean, they were really just trying to get a deeper and more notable place in the kingdom of God. And yet, they sought it out before asking the question, "Lord, what would you want from me?" Instead, they just sought out what they thought to be good instead of what the Lord thought would be good for them. And because of that, Jesus, it says, did not grant their request because it was not the good that God wanted for them. You know, as we talk about learning how to pray, so much of what we have to learn in our relationship with the Lord and in our prayers to God is that our prayers and our requests and our wants don't always match up for what the Lord would want for us. We so often assume that something will be good for us before we even ask the question, "God, what is it that you think would be good for me?" Nevertheless, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of that place where we stumble in our prayers, Jesus Christ is so very gracious to us. Because even when we ask incorrectly, like I did with my mom, or like the disciples did with Jesus. Even then, the Lord gently guides us back, gently brings us back to the goodness of God and to the goodness that God would have for each of us, which brings me back to the scripture that we read from the gospel according to Matthew. In that scripture, Jesus tells us, if we are listening, some of the things that God wants for us. He alludes to these things that'll be good for us, and because they'll be good for us, and because God wants them for us, we can be assured. Listen to that word. We can be assured that God will grant those requests. Therefore, whenever you pray for them, you can be confident that God is going to give to you what you ask. So, what are those things? Jesus says this, ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, Jesus is telling us that whenever we ask God to provide and to be faithful in our lives, he will do it. Whenever we ask God to let us find him, to let us discover his presence in a moment, or in a circumstance, or in a place of life, he will grant that prayer. He will allow himself to be found by you. And whenever we ask God to help us treat another person with love correctly, the Lord will honor that request and will begin to show you how you can relate to that person with love. Faithfulness, hope, love. If you ask for those things, you will receive them. God, will you show me how you are going to be faithful in this moment? And his answer will be, yes. God, will you show me how I can have hope in this moment, how I can look out into the future and still trust that something good is going to happen? Will you give to me hope? And his answer will be, I will. God, will you show me how to give love, even to those whom I struggle to give love to? Yes, I will show you how to give love. Faithfulness, hope, love, these are the things that God promises to bring about in your life if you ask of him. God has promised to give us his good gifts. We are called to ask for them in prayer, to seek them out, to try to open up every door to get to them that would lead to the things that God wants us to have, because in so doing, we will find that God answers us. You know, long time ago when my kids were just tiny little ones, I remember playing the game of hide and seek with them. And when you're at that stage when they're just tiny little ones, that game is so fun to play with your kids, because really, as a parent, you just simply want to be found. And the reason why you want to be found is because you'll see their face when they find you, the excitement that they think they found you. But really, you were just there all along and waiting for them to pull back that curtain or look behind the couch or whatever it might be. Because the game is not so much to really hide yourself from them. It's to teach them that you're there, that you will not abandon them, That when you play the game of hide and seek, you're not going to run out of the house and never come back. But you're there to show them that you are with them. In this prayer that Jesus is talking to us about, ask and you will receive, what he's saying is that part of the work of trusting God is going through moments where it seems that maybe he's not there, but really, he is. Really, the Lord is providing for you. Really, the Lord is watching over you, bringing forth his good in your life. And if you just stay with him for a little bit of time, you're going to discover that God is faithful. God is good. God is true. You can trust him in your prayers. Friends, how do you pray for what God wants for you? The first thing is you ask him, what do you want from me? And then you begin to pursue that. May you receive this word in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.